Praise the Lord. Good morning, good morning. Hallelujah. It's good to see everybody here today. Thank you, Jesus. I would just like to start out with a song this morning. Believe you me, I'm not going to sing. Frank, can you just go ahead and click that first one, or Michelle, that Chris Tomlin song, At the Cross? Let's just set the tone for where we want to go here this morning.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love like a flood comes flowing down. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you, I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white,
today's all about resurrection. It's about the gospel. And it says here in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, it's what they call the gospel in a nutshell. And this is what it's all about, everyone. This is what Jesus came and did for us. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received. One, Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture. Two, he was buried. Three, that he arose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And that's why we're all here. We are here because of what Jesus Christ did. And we've been looking at this subject of redemption's atonement. And this is the third message that I'm giving concerning this, because we want to look at the full potency of the message of the cross. Because in the scripture right above this, I'll read verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, and which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. We're going to look at the full measure of the cross of Jesus Christ, especially in the weeks to come. We're going to look at areas that you might be empty in. You may know this truth about the gospel. You may know that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that he died and the third day he was raised from the dead, but you're not experiencing the full power of his life. And so there's an area of emptiness. We want to get every area filled. We want to get everything in your life so that you are experiencing. David Wilkerson, the founding pastor of Times Square Church, New York City, who's now home to Be With the Lord. When I went up there street evangelizing with him and a team, he talked about a principle called redemption and lift. Redemption and lift. What Jesus Christ's redemption does for a person, and no matter the condition that they find themselves in, no matter what sin has done within their lives, the damage of sin, the effects of sin, the bondage of sin, the hurt of sin, no matter what produced in your life, Jesus can heal it. And he can take you from that place which he came to you in and lift you to another place. And we want to look at this subject. So we're going to look at seven things today. Seven things from Hebrews chapter 9. I'm going to read to you those seven things. I'm going to read verses 11 to 14 and then go over these seven things so that you have an understanding. You know, if you'll take your time with Scripture, God has so much he wants to show you and teach you. And sometimes we'll just read over a grouping of Scriptures and we won't stop and get what God has for us out of them. Verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 9. Father God, I just want to thank you right now. Thank you for reminding me. We give ourselves to you. If we could just all stand and just give you adoration from our hearts, there wouldn't be enough time now nor in eternity, Lord, to say thank you. I'm so appreciative of your sacrifice, of your once for all sacrifice for us. Thank you for your redemption, Jesus. Thank you for your love, Father God. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for being here right now. We love you, Lord God. We love you so much. And help me, Lord God, in the weakness of my flesh, to communicate those things that you want spoken to your children here this day. To magnify you, to magnify that wonderful cross, Lord God. And the magnificent death that you willingly experienced on our behalf, so that you would rise up from the dead, the resurrection of yourself, Jesus, so that we could all be granted justification or righteousness, Lord God, so that we could be declared once again your child and welcomed in your presence now, Lord God, and for all eternity. We love you so much, Jesus. And I'm as passionate for you, if not more passionate for you now than any other time in my life. And this gospel that we have, Jesus, let us not keep it to ourselves. Help us by Holy Spirit to communicate this truth, Lord God, to communicate these things to people around us, for truly we live in a dark time. But when darkness prevails, Lord God, there's a light that will even shine brighter, and it's you, Jesus. Shine through us, live through us, communicate through us, speak through us. Oh, we love you so much. We thank you for a blood that came out of your body, Jesus. And it said everything, it said all sin and all sins were nailed to you at that cross, Lord. And we thank you for a blood that came down and covered them all. Oh, we're so grateful, Lord God. We couldn't do anything of ourselves to earn a right place with you, to earn favor with you. You did it all for us, and we thank you so much. I love you, Lord. Just love the Lord. Just tell him you love him right now. Oh, just express some love and devotion to him right now. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, we love you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Open up our hearts today. Open up our minds and our understanding, Lord God. Give us revelation, Lord. Let us be able to comprehend these truths today and take them as part of our life, Lord God, and live from them. Oh, Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way in our hearts and lives. Go deep, Lord God. Call us deeper. Bring us closer, Lord God, to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 11, but Christ came as high priest of good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Speaking about Jesus Christ coming and taking on flesh, the tabernacle of his body. And it says that he didn't come with the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood. And then it says here, he entered the most holy place, indicating what happened after the resurrection. And he goes back to be with the Father and taking his blood there, and that blood accepted. With his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now listen to these seven things that I just want to briefly go over today. Christ came. Verse 12, he entered. Number two, it says he entered. He did it once. Number three, he did it for all. Number four, he obtained something. Number five, number six, it's eternal. And number seven, it's called redemption. Jesus came. Just this, you know, if you would take your time when you go through scriptures and let the Lord speak to you and let the Lord teach you, he came. And so we take it all the way back to a time in Bethlehem. We take it all the way back to when he came out of Mary's womb and he was born and he took his first breath. The Word of God became flesh and he lived among us. He grew up as we all grew up, from a child all the way up. And so just these two words, he came, go all the way from his birth to his last breath, to his death, to his third day resurrection. Because the next thing it says in the next verse, it says it takes it all the way till he what? He entered. So he came and he entered. And so we have to ask ourselves, if you were to ask yourself some questions today, why did he come? What does the scripture have to say of why he came? Well, there's a lot of things, even out of Jesus' own mouth, why he came. It tells us in Matthew's gospel, he said he came not to destroy the law, but to what? To fulfill it. Now, why did he need to do that? Because we all broke it. There's not a single person here on this planet was ever able to keep God's word or keep God's law. But except for Jesus Christ. He came to fulfill it. There's another thing that it says that Jesus Christ came to do. He said he came to seek and save that which was lost. In Matthew chapter 20, you know what else he came to do? To give his life for a ransom. 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 You mean to tell me that he had to purchase us back? Yes, he did. We were all in hock in sin, and we had a taskmaster over us, and his name was Satan. And in Jesus Christ, he came and redeemed us. He purchased back every single person on this planet. He purchased us all back. Now, those of you today that have partaken of that gospel, you are the redeemed of the Lord. You are the purchased of the Lord. You have experienced his eternal life. It has been placed upon you. Now, those out there still not yet having come to know Jesus, it's still for them. Because he did it for who? For all, for the whole world. Amen? So he came. I want to read to you what Paul said in 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, this is what Paul describes. And this is how Paul described himself. Verse 14 and 15. 1 Timothy 1, 14 and 15. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ. And the reason why Paul speaks of this, because before he came to know Jesus, before his experience with Jesus on a road to Damascus, he had an encounter with Jesus himself. And before that, he persecuted the church. He persecuted people to the death. He tortured them. He made them blaspheme the name of Jesus. He brought them to such a place of horrific torture, destroying people's homes. It said everybody, every believer that was in Jerusalem had to leave except for the apostles. Now we know the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved. We know that later on it says 5,000 more got saved. So just with those two numbers together, we have 8,000 people. And so if we count the families, and we count everybody else who came to know Jesus after that, the numbers are easily above 10,000 people that were dislocated from their homes because of Saul's, or what we call Paul's persecution. Saul's persecution. And only the apostles were left there. So can you imagine how he must have felt when Jesus appears to him and he says, "Who are you, Lord?" "I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting." Every person you touched, from Stephen's death to every person you made blaspheme, every person that you tried to get them to disbelieve in Jesus Christ, every person you dislocated from their home, from their family, from their livelihood, every single one, you touching them, touch me. Isn't that amazing when he said, "I am Jesus whom you're persecuting"? But you see, this is how Paul described it, that Jesus came abundantly with faith and love, even though that he did all those things. And some of us, if we had a tally, if we could tally up some of the stuff that we've done to other people, and Jesus came to us the same way he came to him, with faith and with love. And he came abundantly to us, not to condemn us, we're condemned already. He came to forgive us. He came to release us. And what's so neat about Jesus' redemption, it's called perfect. And that word perfect means it's complete, it's entire, and it speaks about it. So it's entirely complete for the entire person, for your spirit, for your soul, and for your body. So it doesn't matter what has been done to you or what you've done to somebody else. It doesn't matter how messed up you are emotionally. It doesn't matter what you've been involved with in life. That Jesus' redemption is so perfect, it's so complete, he will touch, he will heal, he will save, he will set free even the most darkest thought and emotion and feeling that you have. He restores your life. This is this Jesus. This is what he did for us. He just didn't say, "Okay, I came and you're now forgiven of your sin and you have eternal life." He wants to go to the very core of your being. He wants to go to some of those areas that nobody knows about. It's just inside you. And there's some dark places in a lot of people, right? And he says, "I want to go to those deepest, darkest places. And I want you to know me there. And I want to bring you out of there so you can experience what I have secured for you." See, that's why he came. He came. He goes on here to say, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? Save sinners." I tell you what, I was a sinner. I'm a saint now. But that word save, and we're going to look at that word in the future. Matter of fact, I want to do some teaching on that word save. I want us to look at the full potency of that word save, because like I said, he did it for the whole entire person. There wasn't anything left out of what Jesus did. When Jesus took his blood up before the Father into the Holy of Holies in heaven, it's also where we're going to end up. So what he did was for the entire life here and for the entire life to bring us back to the Father. Because another reason why Jesus came, it tells us in John's Gospel, chapter 14, when one of the disciples said, "You know, Jesus, if you just show us the Father, that would be enough." The guy's name was Philip. He said, Philip, have I not been with you so long you don't know me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So he came to reveal the Father. So when we see the life of Jesus, when we see how he interacted with people, how he spoke to people, how he taught, how he communicated, how he healed, how he served, we also see the Father heart of God. So he came to reveal to us the love of the Father, the compassion of the Father, the mercy of the Father, the grace of the Father. He came and demonstrated the very nature and character of God himself. All wrapped up, if you just take your time when you're going through Scripture, it says Jesus came. Take your time and just ask yourself, what does that mean? What did you do? And as you begin asking yourself questions and you start reading the Word of God, you're going to find so much more that Jesus Christ came and did. And it's just absolutely so powerful to save. Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O. And we usually hear the first three. We know that Jesus came to save, to heal, and to deliver. How many of you in your life need to be rescued from something? Huh? There's a rescuing that needs to take place. There's a lifeline that you need. Any of you ever go through life and you need some extra help? How much longer? Can I keep going on? Well, guess what? He's got an answer for you when you need some help. Okay? He's got an answer for you. Is also, he says he knows how to preserve your life. He knows how to keep you. He knows how to keep you. He knows how to keep you safe and in a safe place. See, when we begin to learn of him, then we start becoming like him. And so he came to bring us to the place, and that one of those words is also deliverance. If you just put up for me, please, Luke 4, 18. When Jesus started out his ministry after he came out of the wilderness, being tempted of the devil for 40 days, and it says the devil departed from him, and in Luke's gospel it says he came out in power. He goes to the synagogue, and they hand him the scroll, or the book of the prophet Isaiah, and he opens it up to Isaiah chapter 61, and he goes to this verse. Of course, they didn't have chapters back then, but he opens it up to where this is read, or where this is stated. And Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. How many people do you know that are poor in spirit today? How many of you feel like you're poor in spirit today? How many of you that are not quite at the place where God would like you to be? Well, there's some good news in Jesus Christ here for you today, because he can bring you to that place that you need to be. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You know, it's so powerful. See that word, to preach deliverance to the captives? That word deliverance is also the same word forgiveness. It's also the same word in, let's go ahead and put up Luke chapter 24, please. I think we'll start with verse 48, because I want you to see how it's translated another place. The same word here. Next verse. And see, this is the commission that Jesus Christ gave to his disciples, recorded in Luke's gospel, that repentance and remission of sins, that's that word remission now, same word in chapter 4, verse 18, about deliverance is now translated here, remission of sins, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Ephesians 1, 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Now see this word here, forgiveness? One place was deliverance. Another place it was remission. In this place it's forgiveness. And there is something that Jesus Christ came and did and was accepted. He entered into that holy place and was accepted by the Father that each and every one of you, he wants you to experience. And you've heard me speak of this word forgiveness. You've heard me speak of this word remission. And this word, it means first of all to pardon. Is it nice if there was a sentence on your life? Well, there was a sentence on all of our lives. It says in John chapter 3, it says he came to what? Save. He didn't come to what? Condemn us. He came to save. Why? Because we're condemned already. So if we're condemned already and he gave his life as a ransom or he paid the price, why? So that we could be pardoned. We can be pardoned. And it's just not good enough to be pardoned. What good is it to be pardoned if you're still in a jail cell? So the next part of that word, forgiveness or remission, is also release. You see, there's a lot of you who know that you're forgiven of your sins, but you're still in captivity. And he wants to bring you to the next part of coming out of that captivity, because the third part of that word means liberty. So you know you're pardoned, you've been released, and he wants you to start enjoying what he secured for you, liberty. And when you start experiencing the liberty, the last part of it is freedom. And you know what all four of those mean? Deliverance. You really want to know what deliverance is? Deliverance is knowing the full, complete salvation that Jesus Christ has secured for you, that now today you're pardoned. You've been released, liberated, and set free. Therefore, the word deliverance, which also means remission. It's all been done. And yet, there's still some people that haven't tasted of it yet. And that's why we have to take our time and look at this subject. I want you to grasp the full potency. When Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he made this statement about the cross. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. How many of you, before you came to know Jesus, before coming here today, when you saw a Christian or you heard about Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins, how many of you, it was foolishness to you? Yeah, right. Right? I mean, there's a lot of people that they did not, I mean, it says it takes almost seven times to hear the gospel before a person actually believes the gospel. I mean, I was polite, but I wasn't polite at times. But I tell you what, when they gave me one of those chick tracks, I remember in high school, I was walking down somewhere and it seems like this Christian came out of nowhere. It's like they were, you know, if you go down to strip stores and the windows here and the entrance to the store is a little bit cut in, and I'd be walking by, it's like a person jumped out. Do you know the Lord? Whoa, where'd you come from? I said, do you know the Lord? No. Here, take this and read this. Okay, lady, crazy lady here. There was a lot of us that might have thought things like that. I sure did. But I tell you what, when I got home, that little comic track, I just remember going through it, just wondering to myself, could this stuff really be true? Could this really, really be true? And there was a time in my life I surrendered. There was a time in your life that you surrendered. And no matter how it came to you, no matter what the person looked like or how they approached you, God wants you, and he wants all of you. And Jesus Christ secured your entire release. Entire release. Isn't that absolutely wonderful? And so we see that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. He entered. He entered into heaven itself. After he arose, after he resurrected from the dead and ascended up to the right hand of the Father, what he did was accepted before the Father. And he did it for all. But it goes on here to tell us the very third thing. How many times does he have to do it? Over here in Hebrews chapter 9, it says in verse 12 here, he entered the most holy place once. Once. So you mean to tell me it doesn't have to be done again? What Jesus did, was it complete? But who did he do it for? The fourth one. For all. Who's included in all? Are you included in this all today? I'm included in it. Isn't it so nice that God's not a respecter of persons? That the Word of God simply tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, he has healing for you in every area of your life. He wants your life to be preserved. He wants it to be rescued. He wants to impart himself. He wants you to know. He wants you to come to know God as your Father. And that you can learn to have a walk with God as your Father. Because the same place he entered, there's a scripture also that talks about you've been provided an access to God. You can enter into God's presence right now. Every one of you, every one of us. Sometimes, you know, it's amazing. We all have a habit of worship, and we all like to go like this. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, because we know that the kingdom of God is all around us. It's also within us. But the Word of God also says, Christ within you, the hope of glory. And I have an abiding presence of God within me by Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is here. He's among us right now. And that's one of the benefits Jesus Christ secured for us in his salvation, is for each person to be able to be filled with the Holy Spirit or baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's called the promise of the Father, to have the indwelling comforter, the indwelling teacher, the indwelling helper, so that you can actually hear God give you promptings and hear God speak to you and hear God teach you and hear God lead you. You're saying, you mean to tell me that we can actually hear God? Yes. There have just been a few times in my life where I believe it was an audible voice of God. It usually comes to me and there's something I need to know or there's something I'm studying, and then all of a sudden, all the information is just within me. It's just like I know. And then when I think on it, it like expands. Everything that God has placed there, it expands. Well, there's one verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the very last verse in that chapter. It says what we possess. And what do you possess? You possess the mind of Christ. See, this is all part of your redemption in Jesus Christ. There isn't anything that God has that you can't know. Scripture says you have the mind of Christ. Well, therefore, if you have the mind of Christ, then everything that God is and everything that God has and everything that God knows, if you need to know, it can be made available to you and known to you. First and foremost, of course, we need to know the Scripture. We need to have the Word of God. Because there's a lot of stuff going on today that say it's of God, it's of Christ, and it's not. And so you need to have the Word of God deeply sown within your heart. Because it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when something comes to you, maybe a couple of those guys that like go knocking on doors, they have another gospel and another Jesus. Whether it be the Mormons or whether it be the Jehovah's Witnesses. And you know, I like ministering to them. I like speaking to them. Most of you know that my mother-in-law was a Jehovah's Witness for 25 years. And when Christine and I started attending here, we were truly saved. We got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I remember visiting Christine's mom. Her name was Harriet. We went down to Homestead, Florida, spent a weekend there. She came knocking at the bedroom door. And she says, you know, I've been a Jehovah's Witness for 25 years. Home Bible studies, passed out the Awake magazine. She did everything a faithful Jehovah's Witness needed to do. She goes, but the change I have seen in your life in 6 months, I have not experienced in 25 years. And I said, Mom, I'm going to introduce you to Jehovah Jesus. Because they do not believe that Jesus is equal with the Father. They believe that he is a little God, another God. And that's what Paul refers to as another Christ, another gospel, and another spirit. And guess what? She was gloriously saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost. Her life changed when she came to know Jehovah Jesus. And so she got to experience the same transformation that Christine and I experienced. Isn't that absolutely beautiful? Because he did it right here. The fourth one is right here. He did it for all. He entered once for all that whosoever, is there something in your life that you're facing or going through that you need to call on the Lord today? Is there something going on in the recesses of your being that you haven't got an answer for? My Bible tells me that I can call on his name. And as I call on his name, because in Jesus or in his sacrifice or what he has done is completely, it's complete, it's perfect. There's nothing lacking in it. So if there's anything lacking in me, there's a sufficiency in Jesus Christ that's available for me and available for you. See, this is part of the good news. And so if there's any lack at all, Jesus can fill that lack. But just be ready, because usually when before he fills it, he likes to expose something that needs to be dealt with. That's glorious. That's absolutely glorious, because he has to uproot something, because he wants to plant something. And so if something needs to be exposed, expose away, Jesus. I know you're a good, good father, because you're a good, good father. And because I serve a good, good father, whatever needs to be exposed, you love me because you know it doesn't need to be part of my life anymore. So when God brings something to the surface of your mind, to the forefront of your thinking, it's time. And just trust him, it's time to get it dealt with, to get it confessed, so that the truth of himself can come, what? Reigning in on you. Amen? Now look what it says here. The fifth thing it says here, that Jesus, what? He obtained, and what did he obtain? An eternal redemption. It means the word obtained means he secured it. And once it's secured, it's forever his. He doesn't have to do it again. He obtained for us an eternal redemption. Eternal. What does eternal mean? Does it mean forever? Will it last forever? Are we ever going to wear it out, break it out, break it, lose it? Do you know to this morning that you're eternally His? You're eternally His. Do you belong to Him today? You see, eternal redemption is the purchase price that was paid. Redemption, He redeemed us. And the price has been paid in Jesus Christ. And it was done once. It was done for all. It's eternal. It lasts forever. And when He purchased us, He purchased everyone back. But not everyone's going to receive His purchase. Going to receive His salvation. Those of us here today, we've received His salvation. And we've got good news for people. And that's why we share the good news. We share Jesus with other people. I don't know about you, but I really love my walk with God. Because Jesus secured the right for me to know God. Jesus secured the right for each and every, not just me. Jesus secured the right for you to know God. Jesus secured the right for you to become like God. Jesus secured the right for you to walk with God. Jesus secured the right for you to serve God. Jesus secured the right for every one of you to make Him known. Jesus also secured the right to be ready for Him when He comes. For us to live a life that is fully pleasing to Him. There's a testimony of Jesus in John chapter 8. He said, I always do those things that are pleasing in my Father's sight. Can every one of you say today, I always do those things that are pleasing in my Father's sight? You see, I say that about myself. And you might say, well, Pastor, that's arrogance. It's not arrogance, because I know that Christ dwells within me. And because it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. I take the word of God that Jesus spoke about Himself because the word says I'm to grow up like Him in every area. And so if I'm supposed to grow up like Him in every area, no, I am to grow up like Him in every area. Therefore, I'm going to come to the place that I'm always do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Therefore, I say now, I always do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Then my entire life seeks to fulfill that truth. So do I have my ups and downs? Yes. And as you heard me say, it's kind of like the stock market. It starts out low and it's got these up and down swings. But if you were to draw a line from where I started my walk with God to where it's at now, if you draw a straight line, you'll see it's always been an upward, even though it's had spikes and it's had some downs, but it's always been a progressive upward. I always do those things that are pleasing in His sight. You say, how dare you pray something like that? How dare I not pray something like that? How dare you not believe something like that? You always do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Guess what happens when you have a prayer like that, when you have a faith like that? Faith, what does faith do? Calls those things as not as though they are. Calls those things as not as though they are. Why? Because this is where I'm going. It says, see, the Word of God tells us, let me just show you this one scripture real quick. Hebrews chapter 10, I think it's verse 14. Hebrews 10, 14. And listen what it says here. Hebrews 10, 14. For by one offering He has perfected, and here's that word, a wonderful, glorious word here. He has completed, He has accomplished, He has secured everything for the total being. There isn't anything left out that Jesus Christ sacrifice has not secured for every single one of your life. It doesn't matter how broken a person is. It doesn't matter what a person's experienced in life. It doesn't matter how many people have trampled them, abused them, hurt them, or you to others. He said it's perfect. And so He perfectly redeems you. He completely redeems you. He completely restores you in every single area of your life. Don't ever let anybody say, well, you're born this way, you're always going to be that way. You know what was done to you? You'll never get over it. You know what you did to that person? You'll never be forgiven fully of it. Those are all lies. All lies. And God does not want us to believe the lies of this world. He wants us to believe in the perfect sacrifice of Jesus for the complete and total person, spirit, soul, and body. Having said that, when I leave here, when this body drops off, please don't do CPR. Just let it go.
Amen.
Okay? Now, Christine may not quite agree with that right away, but I told her one time, I said, honey, if I'm ever on life support, I said, let it go 7 days. You know, then after 7 days, just go ahead and pull the plug. And then I thought, well, 7's a good number. I said, 21's another good number. I said, honey, whether it be 1 day, 7 days, or 21 days, if God says turn it off, then turn it off. Because I'm not here. I'm home. I'm home. I am home. Just let me go home. And I don't have a problem at all with it. You know, there's some people that, okay, let me just ask you this. Are you like this? Are any of you like this? Thank you, Frank. Are any of you like this? That you so hold on to this life as if there is no eternal life. That's what we have to be careful of. I'm not saying that I don't have this morbid thing, oh, I want to die right now. But I don't hold on to this life so tightly because I know that there's an eternal life.
Amen.
And so when you know that there's an eternal life, you don't have any problem letting go of this life. And that's when you know the fear of death, you've been released from it.
Amen.
Completely released from it. So that whenever that time is, whether it be today, tomorrow or 30 years from now, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? That's part of my inheritance. That's part of my right as a child of God. So let me say this, having said that, when I go home to be with the Lord, are there going to be any defects? I mean, am I going to have to go into some kind of special class in heaven because I need to have some areas of my mind still renewed? See, there's foolishness that goes around in the body of Christ that says that once we get there, those of you who didn't overcome here, you're going to have to spend some time with some teachers up there and stay with them for however many thousands of years it's going to be till you get your mind renewed. You know how foolish that is? Do you know how foolish that is? It says, as he is, so shall I be. I mean, it's just very simple, folks, that when we get detached from this body in this unsaved world, that the moment I go from this spirit, soul, and body leaves here, I'm completely one with him. I will have his thoughts. I will know his ways. They'll just all be there.
Hallelujah.
And some people have a hard time with that. Can you imagine if you had to go up there with some of your junk? Some of the stuff you're dealing with in your thoughts here? You're like, oh my God, I gotta live with this throughout eternity? No. See, perfect sacrifice. But it does say a process that's taking place here. And what's the process, the rest of this verse? What's the process that we experience here? It says here in verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are what? Being sanctified. Do you believe that there's a process right now that you're going through? Anybody here perfect today? Well, we can say what the word says. I'm complete in him. Okay, but how many of you are still having that completion worked out in you? Okay, and even Jesus said in his priestly prayer to the Father, sanctify them. John 17:17, sanctify them how? By thy truth, thy word is truth. And that's why we need to be in the Word of God. That's why we need to study the Word of God. That's why we need to hear teaching of the Word of God. So that Word can come in and it, like something, boop, it touches something. Ooh, man, I didn't know that. I wasn't supposed to be doing that. Any of you ever have those kind of aha moments like, I didn't realize God wasn't pleased with that. And then all of a sudden he says he wants to sanctify you or release you from that so that he can reveal something else about himself, of himself, to you that needs to be in its place. God doesn't ever leave a vacancy or a vacuum. It will always be filled up with himself. Amen? Okay, here's one. I'm going to probably have to end with this here today, or one close to it. I like saying that. How many of you know that who he did it for? Did he do it for you? Has it all been done for you? Is there anything lacking what he did? Let's look at one of these purposes why Jesus came. 1 John 3:8. Most people like to quote the last part of the verse. in the last part of the verse that people like to quote, for this purpose, because it tells us the purpose why Jesus came. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might what? Destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil. Well, we got to read the whole verse to get an understanding of what this purpose is here, for Jesus' purpose. Verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. Wait a second. Little children, children of God. You mean to tell me that there's deception that's coming after your life today? Absolutely. What deceptions? Anything that tries to get you away from the true, undiluted truth of who God is. To try to get you to do something, to earn something, or to merit something, to somehow get you to be involved, as in like I had part in my salvation. No, Jesus did it all. Okay? Now look what it goes on here to say. Little children, let no one deceive you, indicating to us the devil doesn't stop trying to trick us or to deceive us or to get us off track. Any of you had any problems this past week? Any of you faced any difficulties this past week? Any of you have had any hardships? Well, see, the enemy likes to, life itself is just going to do it, but the enemy likes to amplify it. Oh, you're a child of God and you're experiencing this? I thought the word says that Jesus Christ came to give you life and life in its fullness, and why is all this poo-poo happening to you? A very nice, you know, why am I going through this? I mean, I'm up to my neck in it. Where's Jesus? Well, he was up in his neck in it also, and he secured our release. Jesus never promised us that life was going to be easy. He said, in this world, you're going to experience tribulation. But he said to be of good cheer. To be of good cheer. Why? Because no matter how deep you might get into stuff, he went deeper still. He experienced life as we all do and never messed up once. It's the only way he could be our Savior. Never having made a wrong turn, never having made a wrong decision, he lived this life perfectly. And so he is able to identify with you in what you're facing because he faced it too, but didn't blow it. How many of you blew it? Yeah, both hands, both feet. Stick them all four up. Okay? But we know that we have a deceiver. And the word tells us in Revelation chapter 12 and 1 John chapter 5, it talks about here that the devil is a deceiver. But look what it goes on here to say. He who practices righteousness is righteous as he, speaking of God, is righteous. Then look at verse 8 says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. He who sins is of the devil. You see, we've all sinned. We've all blown it. Right? But it tells us the purpose why Jesus came. So we don't always have to blow it. So we don't always have to live in sin. So the sin problem could be taken care of. He who sins is of the devil. I am no longer of the devil. I am born of God. I no longer have a sin nature. I have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have the gift of eternal life. I am no longer of the devil. Says he who sins is of the devil. I was born that way. I was born with a sin nature. Every one of you were also. But I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus now. I'm a saint who sometimes sins. I am no longer a sinner. And I've given you this challenge before. Show me any New Testament epistle where Paul or anybody else writes to the sinners at Ephesus, to the lost one at Colossae. He's writing to the house of God, to the church of God, or he's writing to the saints at those places. He doesn't address them as sinners. He addresses them in their current, redemptive status before Jesus. And if he can write a letter and call them saints, then you need to look at yourself and others as saints who sometimes sin. I am not of the devil anymore. I am of God. Amen. You are of God. Oh, wait a second. Is there a scripture that says you are of God? I think it's 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm of God now. So just because I sin doesn't mean I'm a sinner anymore. The Word of God tells us in 1 John 1:9, when you sin, what to do with it? Confess your sin. And he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins, indicating that saints are going to sin. I used to be sin. I was sin incarnate. So were all of you. Don't look at me like, you know, I'm off the wall here. you know? Don't try to sit there and look all high and pious, you know, and mighty, and like you weren't. But it says that that's why Jesus came, to deal with the sin problem. The sin problem is, this is God's standard, you missed it, and in Jesus Christ, you always come up to God's standard now. In Jesus Christ, you're always there. That's what grace does. Here, let me show you my size 13 shoe. Okay? Don't get a whiff. Every one of us are at different maturity levels in our walk with God. And I just look at yourself as a baby foot inside this shoe here. I remember when my son was small, he'd like to put on like a tie and my shoes and try to walk around the house. You know, hey, I'm just like you, Daddy. Yeah, okay, all right. And you know the wonderful thing about grace? That when you, it doesn't matter how size, if you're a one or a two or a three, that Jesus, when Jesus is in your life, grace makes up the difference and it fits just fine. It's a beautiful, perfect fit. Doesn't matter how young you are, or how old you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. When he walks with you, it's always a perfect fit. Because what he did it perfectly. Isn't that nice? Woo, let me put the shoe back on. Woo. Thank you, Alan. And so it says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest. And what was he manifest for? The verse go on to say? What did he do? That he might what? Whoa, wait a second. Destroy the works of the devil? I see a lot of works of the devil going on in the world today. How about you? Is there a lot of evil going on in this world? The word destroy is to undo or to untie or to loose. As remember when John the Baptist said, I'm not even worthy to untie the strap of Jesus' sandal. That's what it's meaning here. Jesus came to undo what entered into the human race. When the devil came to deceive, and he deceived Eve, and she ate of the forbidden. Remember, she ate of the forbidden. It wasn't an apple. There's nowhere in the Bible it says an apple. She ate of the tree, the knowledge of good and evil. And she gave to her husband who was with her. Can you imagine that? Here Adam was, he had dominion over everything. And there she is partaking of something she shouldn't be partaking of. You almost wonder, was he standing there waiting for her to die? Because you know, if you eat of it, it says when you eat of it, you will die. And she didn't die, and she gave it to him and he ate. You see, that's why we have Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Put up Romans 5, 12. Wherefore, as by one man, referring to Adam in Genesis chapter 3, sin entered the world. And death by sin, or because they sinned, death entered into the human race. It wasn't there before. Because they sinned, now our bodies grow old and die. So death passed, what? Upon all men. Why? We've all sinned. That's why Jesus needed to come. Okay? For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy, undo what the devil did. He undid it. What Adam failed to do, what Eve failed to do, Jesus was able to do and secured our redemption. Why? The entire human race was tainted with sin. And you've heard me say this before. It took God the Son, the Creator, God the Son, to take on human flesh and to live in a body like we live in a body and face everything that your life would face and do it perfectly and never mess up. It says that he was tempted or tested, what? In all things. So somehow, some way, Jesus was tempted, tested, and tried just like you are and didn't blow it. Isn't that wonderful? And he undid what the devil did. That makes sense? He undid what the devil did. And that's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because what Jesus did on the cross, he did it perfectly. He lived a perfect life. He was a perfect sacrifice. So he could perfectly redeem us in every single area. And that's why we're here today. He did it for us. He did it for you. He did it for your family. He did it for your loved ones. He did it for your neighbors. He did it for your coworkers. He did it for your city. He did it for your government. He did it for your nation and the nations of this world. And we have a good news. We have a message that needs to continue to get out. And if you've tasted of that goodness, then you need to open up your mouth and let that good news spread to somebody else. Because what you have within you needs to, God's love, God's love is so great, you can't keep it in. It wants to overflow. It wants to bubble out. For God so loved the world. So if God's love within you, and it's so big in you, it seeks release. And seeks release, whether a brother or sister needs encouragement, where somebody needs to know the Lord, somebody needs prayer, it can't help but to leak out of you onto someone else. My cup runneth over. Your cup of God's love, of His salvation, should be running over. Amen? And if it's not, Lord God, help me. Help me leak and run over of your love and of your gospel into somebody else's life. Now, what we're going to look at here in the future, starting next week, we're going to start taking apart this. We're going to see what Jesus has done, and we're going to see the aspects of salvation, what He has secured for our lives, and how to begin to appropriate them or apply them to our life. Okay, so we're going to see what He did and how can we apply this. What He did and how can we apply this. What good is talking about all this today and not know how to apply some of these things to your life? So we want to get into some nuts and bolts of the application of God's word within your life. Amen? Because there are some areas here that you're not experiencing victory and some of you are still having a struggle. Jesus Christ, you're going to find out that in His cross and in His redemption and in His resurrection, I want to talk to you about a principle that I learned, and I shared it earlier, redemption and lift. Redemption lifts you, and then lifts you, and then lifts you. And so He's got something He wants to share with you to not leave you where you're at, but to bring you where you need to be. Amen? And this is what He has for all of us. So I just want to thank You, Father God, for this wonderful day that we celebrate Your resurrection. This wonderful day, Lord God, that we're so appreciative of a great love that You demonstrated to us. And we are told very plainly in Scripture, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. And it says, this was a demonstration of Your love, Father. And so we thank You for a great love that You have for everyone here. And I pray for those who have not yet come to a place, they may have heard about Your salvation, maybe even tasted of it, but haven't yet received or understood the great love that You have for them. I'm asking that Holy Spirit would make Your love, Father, very real to everyone here. That nobody here needs to feel alone. Nobody here needs to feel condemned. Nobody here needs to feel that they're a failure. Because You took all of that, Jesus. You took it all. And all we have to do is realize that how we came to You in salvation, there's a truth that You're wanting to reveal to us for us to believe in our heart and to confess with our mouth and experience the result. So the same way that we came to know You is the same way that You achieve every other thing within our life. There's a truth You revealed to us to believe in our heart, to confess with our mouth, and to experience the results. So we thank You, Father. We bless You. I bless You for this day. Just thank Him once again. Just, you know, the best way you know how, just thank Him for your salvation. And if there's anybody here today needing any additional prayer, any additional ministry, if your life isn't what it needs to be, if you need some additional ministry, then please don't leave here today without bringing it to Jesus. Because the Word of God said it's already been nailed to Him. It's been nailed to His cross. The blood has already covered it. You just haven't yet released it and received what He has for you. In Him or in Jesus, we have redemption, the forgiveness, the pardon, the release, the liberty and freedom of sins. It's already done. It's already been done for you, and it's all for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Michelle, if you would just go ahead and click on the next song. Let's just go ahead and hear this Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised. My hope secures. He will my share and portion me as long as life endures. My chains are. Forever.